Turn tonight to Romans chapter 5.
I must have hit the button on my side. Oh, don't give me that. You guys were back there scrambling. It looked like a... Romans chapter 5. Let's try that again. We have some volume now. Romans chapter number 5. And let's go ahead and stand. We're going to begin reading in verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. And Father, we pray tonight that You would enable our minds and our hearts to understand the truth of Your word. And I pray that You would help me to speak accurately and clearly the truth of these words, and that You would minister them to us for the nourishment of our soul. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may, of course, be seated. Well, this is certainly a high-density paragraph, isn't it? There's a lot that seems to be being said. And so what I wish to do this evening is try and work through it, not verse by verse, but thematically, because Paul is presenting to us really, we'll get there in just a moment, in all that Paul is saying, in all the comparisons that he is making, Paul really is presenting to us one significant idea. There is one truth that dominates the entirety of the passage. Paul has talked to us about human sinfulness. He has talked to us about Christ's righteousness. He has talked to us about the necessity of receiving that righteousness by faith. And now he moves into a section where he is going to talk about, and we touched on this in the first part of chapter 5, that to be saved has very real consequences, and it plays out in the way we behave and in the way we think and in the way we respond emotionally. But there is much more going on than even that. And so what I wish to do this evening is deal with it by virtue of its theme. There is one big idea and three supporting ideas, so to speak, explanations and implications that come out of the one big idea. So, and I mean this seriously, if only one thing sticks with you from all that is said tonight, I hope it will be what the main idea of the passage is. And the main idea of all that Paul has said in verses 12 through 21 is this, is that the obedience of Jesus Christ has conquered the disobedience of Adam. That the obedience of Christ has conquered the disobedience of Adam. We are in dire straits, Paul argues, because of Adam. And there's more to it than that, but we are in dire straits because of Adam. Now, why do I say that? Why do I say that that's the big point? Well, let's look at it. Let's look specifically at two verses. The first one is the first verse in this paragraph. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So, there was sin, folks, in the cosmos. Satan had at some point in time already rebelled. There was already sin in the cosmos. But that sin entered into the world when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. And when Adam sinned, death by sin, which actually, more usually the preposition that is translated therein is translated through. Where did death come from? Death came through sin. This was what God had told Adam, if you eat, you will die. That simple. So here is the first, right here is the disobedience of Adam. One man sin entered in the world, death by sin. Death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. And so everybody that was born then became constituted through Adam sinful. Now again, there's more to it than that. But there is the first part of Paul's argument. In verses 13 and 14, which we will come back to, Paul talks about sin and the implications of sin. But sin is in the garden, death is in the garden, and all now have sinned. Then if you go to verse number 18, right, so we have the disobedience of Adam. And what is the remedy for the disobedience of Adam? What is the remedy for all of this death? How do we get away from the death that came to us through Adam? And by the way, and Paul will spend what may seem to us to be an inordinate amount of time talking about this, but it is not the law. It is not the law. How will we overcome the death that we all experience that has been passed to all of us through Adam? Romans 5:18. Therefore, as by the offense of one man, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. There's the disobedience of Adam. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Adam brought us death. Christ brought us life. This is the main point of the passage. That it was the obedience of Christ, and only the obedience of Christ, that conquered the disobedience of Adam. Paul describes that obedience for us succinctly in Philippians 2:8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So the main point of the passage is this, that the obedience of Jesus Christ has the ability to undo the disobedience of Adam. And it undoes it by moving us from the realm of death and condemnation to the realm of righteousness and life. That brings us then to the supporting points, or the points that are attached to it. The first point is a word of explanation. How can this be? How can this be? How can Adam's disobedience be conveyed to me? And how can the righteousness of Christ mean anything to me? Adam was disobedient. Christ was obedient. I'm not even in the picture directly yet. And so Paul wants to make sure, or more specifically, the Spirit of God wants to make sure that we understand what he means when he makes those kinds of statements. And so we have chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned. And what Paul is getting at there, and we'll talk a little bit more about it in detail, is if you think of it like this. Sin exists because Adam sinned. But there are no categories of sin. There's no record of sin. There's no recitation of sin. There's no ledger book to enter sin in, even though everybody is sinning and everybody is dying. And then we bring the law in. And the law provides for us that kind of bookkeeping. And I mean, again, no disrespect to the law of Moses. Back to verse number 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. People died before the law. Why did they die? Because there was sin. And they were sin. They were sinners. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. All right, so here's our main point. The obedience of Christ undoes or can undo the disobedience of Adam. Supporting point number one. This is possible because Adam and Christ are both types. They're both types. In Romans 5:14, the word is figure. Right? Not everybody has done what Adam did. That's what the similitude of Adam's transgression is. Sin is not exhausted simply by eating a forbidden fruit. There was no fruit forbidden to any of Adam's children, but they died. How is that? Because Adam was the type, the figure. And by the way, folks, the reason that we call it a type is because of the Greek word. If you just listen to the Greek word, typos, you can see how it easily became type for us in English. He was the type. In Acts 7:44, let me give you some of the other ways the word is translated in our Bibles. In Acts 7:44, Stephen said, "Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion," according to the fashion that he had seen, the type, the figure. Acts 23:25, he wrote a letter after this manner, this type, this kind of letter. 1 Corinthians 10:6, now these things were our examples. They were our types, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example, a type of the believers. Be what a believer ought to be, is what Paul said to Timothy. Word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, purity. Now this is just me, right? Because we have all these Bible words to describe it. The word that I'm most comfortable with is pattern. Pattern. My wife is a seamstress for a living. She spends a lot of her time in the work here making patterns. And from one pattern, there will be many dresses sewn or many costumes made. But they're all made after the same pattern. This is the world that we inhabit. And we like to do carpentry, handiwork, handyman work kind of stuff. And so, you know, one of our kids will say, can you do this? Can you make me one of these? Can you make something like this? And she will sit down and make a pattern. And then we will make what technically we would call the anti-type, which doesn't mean in opposition, but it means the replacement. That's really what the word anti refers to. The anti-Christ is the replacement Christ, and therefore the opponent of Christ. So Adam is the type. He is the pattern. This is what is going on in chapter 5 and verse number 12. Wherefore, As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Adam became the pattern for all of us. We are all like Adam. We didn't all sin Adam's sin, but we are all like Adam in that we are all sinners. Adam is the pattern. We are made in his image. We come forth from the womb with his nature. But it isn't just Adam who is the representation. Jesus is a type in the sense that he is a pattern. This is verses 17, 18, and 19. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now let's just stop there. And again, you may turn to it. You're always more than welcome to turn to the verses. I won't spend a lot of time waiting. But let's let Paul elaborate on that a little further in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here's what he says beginning in verse number 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So after all these contrasts between the natural and the spiritual in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul concludes by pointing out the contrast between Adam and Christ. Adam was given life. Where did he get that life? Christ is the life giver. That's the point that's being argued. Christ is the pattern. He is elsewhere called the first fruits. Christ is the pattern. So the obedience of Christ has the power to undo the disobedience of Adam. Because Adam is the pattern of all sinful humanity, and Christ is the pattern of all saved humanity. What should a Christian be like? He should be like Jesus. What is every human being that is born like? They are like Adam. This is our native state. But supporting point number two is this. Although Jesus is the type of Christ, or Adam is, Although Adam is the figure of Christ, he is the pattern mostly in the reverse. And this is what Paul is arguing in chapter 5 and verse number 16. You'll notice there that he interjects in this list of comparisons, he interjects the word not. Let's actually go back to verse number 15. But not is the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So, Adam is a type, Christ is a type, but there is a great distinction between them. Think of it kind of like this, folks. Before digital photography came into the world, photographs were exposed. When you took a picture, it was exposed to light and you had a negative, a reverse image. things that in the finished product would appear to be light or dark on the negative, and that which was dark on the light on the negative would be dark in the photograph. There is a reversal of the image. And Paul's not trying to be cute here. He's not trying to be complicated. I don't think he's trying to be mysterious. Here's the point, folks. If we just say Adam and Christ are both types and we don't make that distinction, we might bleed over into one of two grave errors. The worst possible error would be to assume then that Christ is disobedient. If Adam is just like Jesus, or Jesus just like Adam, then there would be a potential of disobedience. And if there were no distinction between them, then there is the equal possibility that Adam could come up with his own righteousness. So there must be this very heavy line drawn between both of these men, although they are both patterns or representatives for us. Verse number 16 helps us to understand where they differ. They differ in the matter of obedience. Both are men. Both are patterns. Both have significant eternal implications to their existence. But one is a pattern of disobedience, and one is a pattern of obedience. And to go back to chapter 5 and verse number 13, because of that disobedience, we now live in a world in which death reigns. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned. Death was the king. From Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So Adam is the pattern in the sense that he was disobedient. And that disobedience was transmitted to us. And because of that disobedience, there is the reign of death. But if you look at verse number 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ is the pattern of the obedient, and because Christ is the pattern of the obedience, you'll notice that what reigns is grace. Now, here's something to note, folks, right? Because we have these opposites. We have righteousness and sinfulness. We have life and we have death. You would think that the reign of death would be replaced with the reign of life, but there's a reason that it's not that way, and that's because life does not reign yet in this world. In other words, when we read this, folks, we got to read this with the understanding that Paul has already laid for us in Romans chapter 4, and that is that any righteousness that Christ has that we're going to access by faith, and not everybody has faith. Everybody dies. Not everybody believes. But grace is what reigns right now. All who are living under the condemnation of death have the offer of and the opportunity of living under the reign of grace, which will lead to life. They may not choose that, but they all should be offered that. So it is not the reign of life and death, it is the reign of death and the reign of grace. The gracious offer of redemption to all who are living under the reign of death. So the main point is that the obedience of Christ has undone the disobedience of Adam. In that, both men are patterns for us. In that, although both men are patterns, they are not the same pattern. One is a pattern of obedience, the other is a pattern of disobedience. And that brings us to the third point. What does that mean for me? So what? So what? Is the only thing wrong in the world Adam's sin? In other words, folks, are there perfect people living in the world who are doomed to death simply because they were born as human beings? Are there people whose righteousness would be adequate, but they are doomed simply because they were born as a child of Adam? Or on the other hand, is Christ really the only pathway of righteousness for us? These are significant questions. And Paul is addressing them. So in other words, folks, Paul is explaining that Adam and Jesus are patterns, but in so doing, he is not ignoring the fact that the world is composed of individuals. And so Paul addresses the implications of these patterns on us in two ways, one with reference to our sinfulness and the other with reference to our salvation. Let's go back again to verses 13 and 14. Human sinfulness exists in all men, not just in the sin of Adam. Because I was born in the pattern of Adam's sinfulness, I am going to bring my own sinfulness then into the world. In other words, folks, if you were to make a pattern of something, let's just suppose that you were to make a mold, and you were going to pour a casting into that mold, and there is a flaw in the mold, then everything that you pour into the mold and take out of that mold when that mold cures or hardens is going to bear that flaw, because that's the pattern. And so Adam was a sinner, and everybody is going to sin. This is Romans 5:12. Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And then Paul goes on to expand on that. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. And it's almost as if Adam is saying to us, don't focus on the law. Focus on the fact that death reigned from Adam to Moses. Think of it like this, folks. Maybe this is a helpful illustration. Suppose you get up tomorrow morning and you have a terrible pain in your stomach. And you think, I'll tough it out for today. And you get up Tuesday and you have a terrible pain in your stomach. And you go, something is really badly wrong, but I'm not going to the doctor because I don't want to know. Did you suddenly become healthy? Does refusing to go get a diagnosis make us better? No. It just means when we die, they might write unknown causes on our death certificate. But the law really does function much like a doctor. You go to the doctor, you got a terrible pain in my stomach. He tells you exactly what's wrong. That's what the law does. Paul will help us with this in Romans chapter 7. I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. People lusted. People lusted sensually. Folks, you can go back. I mean, the internet, without being crude or vulgar, without being in any way inappropriate, you can read about the sexual mores of Abraham's culture, the Sumerians. It was pretty loose sexually. People obviously had sensual lust. They didn't know it was wrong, and yet they kept dying. This is the only point that Paul is trying to make, and he's trying to make that point. Look, folks, Adam knew exactly what he had done wrong and what the consequences were. Don't eat this fruit off of this tree. I eat that fruit off of that tree, right? That is about as point-to-point, cut and dried as you can get. But then there were descendants of Adam, and there's no law, and yet they keep dying. And why are they dying? Because they're sinning. And the sin is not imputed. It doesn't mean it isn't put on their account. It means there's no accounting of the sin. we don't have a good mechanism for going, this is really wrong and this is questionable and this may be okay, because what is the standard? There is no standard. But the law comes in then, and it doesn't bring righteousness. It simply brings the diagnosis of sinfulness. I have a pain in my stomach. It's bad. Maybe it's gas. Maybe it's your gallbladder. Maybe it's your appendix. Maybe it is cancer. You need a medical diagnosis. Otherwise, it's just a pain in your stomach. So it's not like Adam's sin was the only sin. Nevertheless, verse 14, death reigned. Because there is sin everywhere in the world. And so Paul goes on then in chapter 5 and verse number 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Right, so the law, again, folks, the law doesn't create sin. The law defines sin. The law is the diagnosis of what the sin is. Okay, so maybe this will be kind of creepy to you. I don't know. But there's a website called Find a Grave. I don't know if you're familiar with it. And people put on it death information and grave certificates. We have a rather unusual last name, and periodically I will go to it and look through the largents. And I found one. I went through last week, I had some time, and I went through, and I just looked for largents that died at a fairly young age. And I found one back in the 1800s, and they actually had his death certificate, and it said he died of a cancer. He was 45. He died of a cancer. We don't say those kinds of things anymore, right? We have all kinds of labels for what type of cancer it is. This is the way the law functions. And it magnified man's sinfulness. This is his point. Now again, we're supposed to know this. The Jews really struggle with this. And Paul talks a lot about the law. So anyway, main point. The obedience of Christ has the power to undo the disobedience of Adam. How is that? Both are figures, types, patterns. But they are different patterns. One is a pattern of obedience. One is a pattern of disobedience. And both are applicable to us because we are, on the one hand, disobedient in our own right. And the sin just came in and said, hey, look, you're really sick. That's all it did. It just diagnosed us with really bad sickness, so we would run to the physician for the cure because we're living in the reign of grace. The second way this applies is with reference to our individual salvation. We are all in Christ, Romans 5:12. I mean, we're all in Adam, Romans 5:12. When our children were born into the world, they were born in Adam. When our grandchildren were born, they were born in Adam. As one of our daughters said, it is very difficult to see your own sin nature duplicated in your kids. Yeah, we know. They got more of my wife's sin nature than mine, but that's another story. Oh, yeah, I kind of hear about that. Not from her. Her allies will point out to me, and I am the greater sinner. Look at verse number 17, folks, because it's not making a marginal point, it's making a big point. Right? There's a pattern here. Adam's disobedience is a pattern. We're all disobedient. Christ's obedience is a pattern, but we're not all obedient. Everybody is disobedient, but not everybody is obedient. 5:17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, because, right, death is the king and nobody escapes king death, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now again, you take this back to chapter 4, it must be received by faith. Comes through grace. Right? I mean, it is God's kindness that even offers to us salvation. That is put into place in our lives through our faith in Him, what He did, what He said, and how to get it. And we which receive that grace and the gift of righteousness shall then reign through one, through our representative. We don't get our own little individual kingdoms, folks. We certainly don't get our own little planet sent off someplace where we can rule the world. We reign in and with the one who reigns the world. So, here is where we are. Paul is making one main point. The obedience of Christ has the power to undo the disobedience of Adam. Both men are patterns. Pattern of different thing. One of disobedience, one of obedience. That is significant to us for our own sinfulness, and it is significant to us for our own salvation that we will achieve through Christ, through Christ's righteousness, only by faith. Only by faith. All right, let's pray this evening. And we're going to have our closing song. I got a couple of announcements. Is our closing song Happy Birthday? Are we going to sing that later? Let's do that later. So let's sing our closing song. I'll make a couple of announcements. We'll sing Happy Birthday to Chad, and then I'll go eat all the cake. Does that work with you? He didn't like that very much. Let's pray. Father, thank you for saving us, and thank you for the righteousness of Christ and the obedience of Christ, which has led to the reign of grace and eternal life in Him. May we joyfully receive the gift of this salvation. I pray this for us in Christ's name. Amen.